question on Senate Bill 5530A, which is the Oregon Parks and Recreation budget. Members will recall that we sent this budget out, went to the full and then went to the floor, and there were some questions raised about the regarding of referral to the emergency board by the subcommittee's actions. We are going to try to take some clarifying language to clear up any misunderstanding or misconceptions of what the committee's intention is. And to do that presentation for us is Ms. Susie Jordan, the LFO staff. Ms. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm recommending that the Senate Bill 5530-A be amended to do two things. One is to increase the lottery funding expenditure limitation to the full amount, but to separate it into four categories. Administration operations at $19,446,595 that would encompass all of the administrative and operational packages and the shift of the general fund to the lottery money. Land acquisitions at $4 million and local park grants at $5 million and the facility repair and maintenance at the $15 million that was requested by the department. And the second amendment that I'm recommending is that we reduce the other funds limitation that's supported by the park user fee by $1.5 million, anticipating that the revenue will remain at the current service level. But the department has projected an increase, but the department has historically come to the emergency board to request general fund backfill due to unanticipated declines in their revenue. And they have also they also experienced cash flow shortfalls at the beginning of each fiscal year. By decreasing their expenditure limitation, it should improve their cash flow. And if the revenues are realized, they can come back to the emergency board to request an limitation increase. And then there are four budget notes that I'm also recommending. These are slightly wording to the ones that you adopted in the initial bill, but it requires a report to the emergency board on their cash flow, facility improvements, land acquisitions, and the LACI grant program.
You've heard the recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Starr.
I'm a little confused. I got a lot of stuff from LFO and says revised, and I have two things to say revised. I was wondering if the last day.
Is this memorandum?
May 18th.
And it's dated May 18th to members of Senate Bill 5530-A.
What are these? Does this have anything to do with anything?
I think it's in our next budget we're going to be doing.
Housing.
No. This is part.
I don't know what you're
looking for.
I don't know.
Well, I
got food.
But then
there's
a different
rate.
I don't know what food
is. Common is propaganda, I'm sure.
I'm sorry, I don't know what these are. These are not come from legislative office.
I don't know who they're from. Was this part of your motion?
No.
I don't know.
I know where this came from. This came from Jim. Did this come? Did you give it to him? Came from Jim Party.
Somewhere.
Oh.
I'm sorry to see them.
Okay.
Summarize the proposal.
Okay, we've heard the motion. Is there further discussion? Representative Schrader.
Yes, sir. I'd like to amend the motion to include...
There is no motion. You're allowed to make the motion.
I'd like to make a motion, sir. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the LFO recommendations with an addition. That would include kind of an opportunity to stay with the will of the voters by having $15 million worth of lottery-backed bonds included in the proposal.
Okay, you've heard the motion. is there a debate or discussion, Representative Schrader?
To be more specific, I would include in that allocation about $6 million more for acquisition, state park land. I'd add $2 million for the local grant program and $5 million more for the facilities to get it up to 20. The idea here, sir, members of the committee, is that I think it's very clear that the voters were wanting to augment the park's budget, not just simply backfill it. We have an article on the Oregonian today from two of our great leaders and former governors, Mark Hatfield and Neil Goldschmidt. They were co-chairs of the Measure 66 campaign. I'll quote the article, if I may, Mr. Chair, just very briefly. Even more unfortunately, budget proposals for Measure 66 currently circulating have failed to divert the funds into existing programs instead of making new investments in parks and habitat that we voted for. And further, those funds cannot simply be used to replace or backfill existing agency budgets. These are the chairmen of the Measure 66 campaign. I think very clearly they knew what they intended with Measure 66. I think they have correctly read the will of the people. I understand that we need to be saving money, general fund money, for education. I'm a strong supporter of that. And I think by using some of the bonding, the small portion, within the Measure 66 dollars that are allocated, we can augment this budget and keep faith with the voters by having that $15 million instead of just taking it out, keeping it in there in an alternate form. We're going to be using bonding for a lot of other projects, but I don't think it's valid to state that this is an unstable source of income or any of that sort of thing. I think this is an important piece of what the people are looking for, and that should be a bipartisan issue. It should be a bipartisan issue. I think if there's been an indication in this committee that we're not sure the money's going to be allocated in an effective and timely manner, given some of the past performance of this department, I have no problem with this money that'll be coming from the debt service from the bonds to have that held back in the E-board. I think there was some discussion we could have each of those portions held back and basically use the wording that LFO gave us before, that this funding may be requested once details of the land acquisition plan or once the details of the grant program or the facility program are outlined, then these monies would be released. So I think it really helps this committee and helps the Parks Department come down and actually engineer a program that we as the legislature feel comfortable with, that we can supervise, I think, in an effective manner. So, sir, I'd recommend that we adopt this particular motion, including the bonding for this extra $15 million to be paid for the voters.
I appreciate the representative's explanation. I would point out, however, if we keep going with lottery-backed bonds, we're going to have the next 50 years of lottery monies flex to paying off the indebtedness of all these lottery bonds that we're using on everything from A to Z. And you can only go to your Visa card so many times, and then you see the limitations.
Okay.
And certainly this is one of those potential sites. Former Senator and Governor Hatfield and former Governor Goldschmidt, I have nothing but the highest personal regards for both gentlemen. But I think if you go out here and do a selective poll on the street today and ask bystanders and people walking by, what did they intend to do with ballot measure 66? Probably for each person you'd interview, you'd get a different response. So maybe that was the co-chair's intention, but that's not exactly what was communicated to the voters. And then I would submit, finally, that the governor has indicated backing these general funds out and using these lottery proceeds to pay for this ballot measure 66 in compliance with the voters' wish. And this budget reflects our support for the governor's intent to balance the budget. So I don't make that statement lightly, but I want to support Governor Pittock wherever I can.
Senator Yee. Thank you. I'm going to support Representative Schrader's motion. I rather see it put back $15 million general fund in the budget, because this is is an option. I don't really support programs funded by bonds, but I suppose this is the closest alternative that we can do to put money back in the parks to take care of some of the backlogs in $104 million backlogs of buildings and repair. So I'm going to support it.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I support the concept of the idea of the additional areas, and we've had some evidence of some need, but there's also an abundant amount of information that I think was supplied to the subcommittee relative to past management performance and past concerns about the operations, and a holdback of the bond money would really only serve one purpose, and that would be to give us an opportunity to have a report brought back to show exactly what land was going to be acquired for additional parks lands and other programs and projects, and again, that goes back to the past management practices that have been, there's been some concern expressed. I would say this relative to the Major 66 language, we do have information from at least one other member of that committee who indicated that the language was intentionally vague, that they did not want to put in language that this was in fact a tax increase. We have discussed the potential of whether there was in fact evidence that the taxpayers did wish to impose themselves a tax, basically $5 per person per biennium. Three million voters times $5 would be $15 million, which was the approximate amount of the general fund that was being used in the last biennium. And there's been no evidence that the taxpayers really were willing to come forward with $5 for every man, woman, and child in the state to operate the park as an additional tax. And I guess one or two things that I would favor, and that is for someone to come forward with a with some kind of a legislative proposal that we go ahead and do a tax checkoff for $5 for every dependent for parks, or any alternative that there has been an indication, and I think it's ample indication, of perhaps a need. And it really is more than the $15 million that Representative Schrader has suggested. And perhaps an interim task force should come back and review the issue, reporting to the 71st Legislative Assembly and working with the Parks Department, what would they do with a $15 million bond in addition to the proceeds that they're receiving under Major 66, which are additional funds that they will be, in fact, receiving. So one of those two, either a special tax checkoff that says, yes, I voted for an additional $5, and here it is, on page 2 of the tax returns, total number of dependents on the page, front page times X number of dollars, add this to my total tax liability, take it away from my refund. Or in the alternative, some kind of an interim opportunity to know exactly, because of management concerns that we've had, exactly what would be done with $15 million so that the 71st Legislative Assembly could act on it and make a decision.
Representative Butler, I appreciate your comments, but I want to inject the Senate goes into session 9:30 and we have another budget to do. Appreciate that because what you're making a statement is it's a cancer committee issue that we can't really deal with here in Ways and Means. As far as this budget, the motion is to add $15 million in lottery bonding authority to the LFO recommendations. And
I was hoping to assuage Mr. Resident Shady's concern, Mr. Chair.
It's called electrocution, I don't but we'll try. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pretty much referring to the years, and I don't get to say that very often, so I want to put Troy on my side. But I don't usually like lottery bonds either. In every session, I check to see where we are and how far of the thermometer we find with lottery bonds. And I'm always surprised when I find out how minuscule they are in comparison to the revenue and the rest of what's going on. What my concern is my biggest concern is the storm damage that we've done to a lot of our state parks this last winter. I can't wait for an interim study. We have parks we may not be able to open. And if the voters went to the polls and thought they were bringing in new revenue, they didn't think they were doing it to close their parks. And it's nobody's fault that we're in that situation. Mother Nature did what Mother Nature did. But that's where we are. And I can't wait. I don't think we can afford to wait to take care of that storm damage, and in some cases, I hope, to do some things that when the storms come again, it's not an if. The scientists have told us when they come again this next winter that maybe we will have less damage than we did this past winter. But I don't see any other way of getting there except for the bonds at this point. I put general fund money in through. That's not an option. This one is an option. We can't do anything about the management in the Parks Department if we want to or we don't want to. It's not in our purview to do that. But we've got to do something about the condition of the state parks. I didn't vote with the governor last night, so I'm not going to vote with him this morning. That's not necessarily a new thing. I'm glad you all appreciate him at the moment, but I need to be able to move on with state parks.
Senator Kim.
I thought you'd already seen this budget, but
we'll
take care of the slight issues and make sure that we're all right constitutionally and so forth. But the point is, you know, my conscience is completely clear in regards to this. Last session, we increased their budget 30%. I've had the manager into my office, and he's gone through all the projects that have been designed and are ready to roll. In fact, they're working on them right now. We're going to see the biggest change in state parks in the next 2 years that we've seen probably in the last 20. So let's move ahead. I can't see any reason to put more money in. We've done a great job for state parks in the last 4 years.
Further questions or comments, Representative Beck.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just for clarification, maybe Representative Butler, maybe I missed something. When you were talking about somebody had come in from the committee and said something about avoiding tax, I didn't understand what you were saying, where that was coming from.
Why don't we get off that language if we can, because we're looking at LFO recommendations. We've already dealt with
on the record at some point. I'd like to.
It doesn't have a thing to do with what we're discussing. Is that good enough? I'm just telling you, it isn't part of our discussion.
Well, then I'll discuss the motion. I support the motion. I'm glad we pulled the budget back. I appreciate the chair's willingness to do that. I think it's the right thing to do, and I think the budget that's come out here in that context is a good next step. I certainly want to admonish the governor for starting this budget process out in a negative form by taking away a third of the money for parks. And I think it behooves us as legislators and leaders to overcome governors when they make mistakes or have used bad judgment, which I think the governor did in this case. I think it's our responsibility to lead and follow what we think the voters intended. We have two prominent citizens who are giving us some guidance what they had in mind with this measure, the Bar's responsibility to respond, and I think Representative Schrader is the right approach. I think we could put some more meat on that proposal and get some more specifics from the department in the next few weeks, to flesh out in more detail where those, what sorts of projects could be funded if we need to do that. But I think that the motion is a good one, and I would encourage us to move forward.
Representative Patrick.
Chair, I'd just like to say I think we are upholding the will of the voters. I don't think the will of the voters is clear. While I appreciate and respect the former governors of the state of Oregon, I guess I would challenge them to come down and find the $70 million in the budget that's being asked for by their request as a result of their editorial in the paper and one of the other things that we have in front of us. That's what's being asked for, and I don't think that was made. I guess it's $60 million. That's not what was made clear to Oregon voters, I don't think, that when they passed this measure. So I'm ready to vote so we can keep moving.
Can I make a quick closing comment?
Representative Schrader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I want to make clear I appreciate the chairs and the co-chairs and all the work they've done on this budget. And they've done, in my opinion, as Representative Beck said, a very good job in trying to meet the Constitution that demands the Measure 66. I'm also sympathetic, having served on this committee, to some of the concerns about implementation of some of these things and accountability and that sort of thing. So my proposal is to kind of get at that a little bit. And I think the bonding is appropriate here because we are talking capital facilities. There's a lot of talk in this building about bonding for things that maybe we shouldn't be doing. So I think this is appropriate use of bonds. And I guess lastly, I'd say that no one in our committee, before us in the committee, none of my constituents felt that the money should be backed out. We had no testimony to that effect. So I'm trying to come up with a compromise solution here, and I hope that the committee would entertain it.
You've heard the question posed that we adopt the LFO amendments along with the caveat that $15 million of lottery-backed bonds be also inserted. Senator Keita.
Mr. Chair, how can you combine those two motions?
That's the way it was presented. And it doesn't have
so
to
So we'll just have to come back and
consider
okay.
Another motion.
Gotcha.
Clerk will call the roll, please.
Keita?
No.
Me? Aye.
Jim? Oh.
Duke?
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Beck?
Aye.
Schrader?
Aye.
Schrader?
Aye.
Schrader?
No.
Catherine?
No.
Star?
No. Motion fails. Senator Keita now moves the LFO recommendations identified by the date of May 18, 1999, amendments to Senate Bill 6530-A, the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department budget. No further discussion. Representative Beck.
I do want to make a brief comment on the way the budget's laid out here. Some concern about the expanded local grant program. I'm a big advocate for local grants, and frankly, I think there's a huge unmet need out there in local communities. I fear we've bolstered the local grant program, possibly at the expense of the state program. I don't think the world's going to come to an end, but I hope it's clear that what my concern is that the local grant program is going to require matching money from these local communities. It's going to take some time for these projects to come forward. The department has to come up with criteria. All of this could take time. We might find ourselves at the end of biennium without worthy local grants or some worthy local grant proposals that don't have local share. And I hope that the department would at some point be encouraged to come back to the e-board and reprogram some of that local money should there not be local grant projects that have come forward that are meritorious or that don't bring with them the appropriate local share. So I hope that it's clear, and if anybody has other comments about that, staff or anybody, I'd love to hear it.
We adopted a budget note previously that directs the Parks and Recreation Department to come back to the e-board and indicate to the e-board the implementation of the local grants program. So exact identifiable language is already part of the budget note, and I think what we would do is just be duplicated by adding additional language.
Well, I wasn't looking for language. I just wanted to make it.
But on the record,
discussion that the committee understands that their local grants are a great idea, and we all support that, but it's a lot of money for a new program, and we're talking $10 million because there has to become five from the local communities, and it, you know, it may not get up and running in time, and I think the department should have the ability to access the local program at an appropriate time for their own uses.
Ms. Jordan.
There are actually two budget notes that might accommodate that. They do need to come back to the emergency board and report on their cash flow plan in the event that revenues should increase or decrease, and I fully expect that the department would do some rebalancing during the interim and approach the emergency board to report what those rebalances are. In addition, with the recommendation to reduce their other fee-supported portion of their budget, they're going to have to do some managing within their operations, and there will be some other areas that will have to be reduced, and I expect that they would scale back, for example, the Parks and Prison program, and some of those programs that are more fully funded than others.
Okay, Representative Carr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was the item that I wanted to highlight, and I'm actually very pleased that we're putting additional money there. As we were talking about keeping faith with the voters in Measure 66, the information that was provided to voters in Washington County was information about local parks. In Washington County, we don't have a state park facility in our county, and there are park districts in our county, that city and special districts that have money available, and this extra money would be available to them in a match situation. I don't think there would be any problem finding the projects out there at the local level to fund this, and I'm very pleased that we're putting this additional money into this program. And finally, as far as the overall budget, I think that I'm very proud of this budget. I think this is an outstanding budget, and I think that we're going to, as Senator Tim said, we're going to see more work done on our parks in the next few years than we have for a very long time.
Thank you. Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually wanted to really quickly, I discussed before two things on the local grants program. I thought we'd modified one of the budget notes previously about after school programs, and that we talked a little bit about in the committee about after school programs. I thought we'd amended that or we're going to have that as part of the narrative for the budget. My other concern was we had amended the budget note in regards to the state prison inmate labor piece, and we didn't have, I didn't think we had, should be given consideration. I thought we changed it to may give consideration or something of that nature. I was trying to find it in my file. My concern was with people who are in areas without state prison. I didn't want them to be subject to having the same availability to those grants, to these grants, as people from other areas of the state were. So I don't know what, I didn't remember exactly how we modified it before. I don't mean to belabor the process, but I think it's critically important.
The one word that we had in it before was shall consider, shall be given, and we changed that to consideration should be given.
Okay.
To allow the advisory group that's been helping the department put together their criteria to consider whether that's a valuable criteria or not. And it isn't to require the department to use that criteria, but to think about that. And I recall the conversation about the after-school program, but we didn't adopt a note to put that in.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, just to finish off, thank you for the clarification. I'm comfortable with all of those recommendations. I just wanted to have that on the record. The only other thing that I'd like to say is, during the last time we passed this budget out, we had legislative council and we had this whole deal about a memorandum that put forth about the Measure 66 million and the constitutionality of it. I just want to say for the record that if we're doing this as a result of
of being threatened with a lawsuit by other people and other things. I don't think we're making, I don't think it's good to capitulate to those kinds of things when I was comfortable previously with the recommendation. I think we asked for oversight on a lot of different areas, and I don't want to set a bad precedent by saying that we can't have any oversight as a result of this Measure 66 money. I'll support this, and I support the chair and the co-chair, but I want to make it clear on the record that I don't believe that that's the correct legal opinion, that we can't have any constraints at the emergency board level for these types of items, because I don't want to set a future precedent that we could kind of kick out this money and don't have an oversight over this money. And I'm not concerned about it. I'd rather go through the lawsuit. We've been for months beating up on the Department of Transportation, and their money comes through a constitutional source that is only supposed to be used for the state road or the state. We do the same thing there. I do this as the same kind of thing. I think it's unfortunate that we're being threatened with lawsuits as a result of this. We're just trying to have accountability for the voters for, again, for the money that's being spent in tax dollars of the country.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I move the eligible recommendation.
We already had that motion pending before. Those are the previous questions. I don't know if they said
I called the previous question.
The question now is on the main motion.
I have a question.
There's a motion. It's not debatable. On the main motion.
I call for a roll call.
Okay. We'll have a roll call, Bo.
On
the...
Me?
No.
Ma'am?
I'm Tim.
Motion carried. The main motion now before is the LFO recommendations to Senate Bill 5530 and amend the aim gross version. Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question on the main motion?
The main motion?
Yes.
I'll yield that to you if the final version is up, and I believe under Mason's legislative procedures, once the question is called for, it cannot be interrupted by asking questions. I'll seek clarification, but I understand the rules of play.
Maybe I'm misversing of the privilege. You cannot answer the question before I vote.
Under personal privilege, you can inquire the chair, but you cannot ask questions of members or staff.
I'll ask the question to the chair.
Okay.
I want to know, is it proven to cut crop safety money $2.4 million in view of the fact that there were fatal accidents, not accidents, fatal
murder?
That's what it was. Yeah, it was murder. That happened in the park. One was seriously injured and one was killed. And then we want to delete park safety by $2.4 million. Take away 12.5 FTE. Is it safe to do
such a thing? I would respond to your personal privilege. The question you raised should have been taken up during work session on this bill. This bill has been through a very thorough work session in this committee, and this bill was sent back here for one reason and one reason only. That was why the constitutionality question that was posed by the order of Measure 66. If you choose to reopen this and go back to ground zero on the budgeting, then I would strongly urge you to talk to the gentleman at your right, because as co-chair, he can dictate to this committee that we reopen this session. Otherwise, our direction by the co-chairs was to take the bill, insert the language to meet the constitutional compliance, and send the bill out. This bill has already been through the Senate, and is waiting arrival in the house. So we are not going to reopen it if that's your intention.
This is part of the recommendation.
No.
Your point of order, we've had the previous question. I suggest that we go to move on.
And you've heard the previous question raised on the main motion. The clerk will call the roll on the amendment to Senate Bill 5530-A.
Aye.
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 No.
No.
Butler.
Aye.
Patrick.
Aye.
Carr.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
I understand the budget, and it is maybe delayed in the budget. And I understand people's frustration level at this point in time. I just want to say I did have something that I believe was a substantive issue. I didn't realize Senator Yee in her own way managed to raise it. I don't appreciate that other folks in their hurry after they had their comments wouldn't allow some of us the opportunity to raise what we believe was an important issue. Wasn't trying to stonewall the budget, wasn't trying to cause anybody any grief. I wanted some clarification, and I wanted to make a point, and I hope perhaps in the future we can try to have a little more consideration for the other members who haven't yet had the opportunity to come in.
We try to show due consideration, and as I stated,
well, it wasn't your fault.
It was a bill that was sent down to the committee from the Senate, and our pledge to the co-chairs was that we should refrain from reopening the issue because we know it's a difficult issue, an emotional issue, and I must candidly say in my 25 years in this process, this is the most poorly lobbied bill I've ever seen. By people starting in a negative position to begin with and polarizing ourselves, I am sick and tired of being painted as a no parks supporter, as a person who doesn't support parks. And so if they want to file their litigation, let them take the best shot. But I'm fed up of being threatened and intimidated by people who think I'm anti-parts.
They didn't need to say it.
No. I didn't say you. I made the comment to one lady from Portland who has done a very poor job of lobbying this bill.
I just had reason to believe something I got yesterday, that a change was made in the budget that would impact our safety. And I had some questions to be able to resolve that, but I was not able to raise them.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, I thought that deletion of the safety item was part of the recommendation by LFO.
We already dealt with that.
Oh, but just for my own satisfaction, do you think that Susie can send a memo to me explain why that safety program was deleted in view of the problems we have and other members who have copies?
That's fine. Chair would now move Senate Bill 5530-8 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation to the House. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll. Thank you. We'll close the hearing on Senate Bill 5530 and open the work session on House Bill 5033, Housing Community Services. Refine, welcome back up front. You want to bring any of your staff, LFO, or anybody else?
I'm going to bring my fiscal officer with me. And okay. We have Patrice is at another community where our normal BASS representative from Linda Gilbert is standing in for Patrice, Mr. Chairman. So if there's questions relative to BASS, we'll have to defer to her and hope that she has the inside and this enough to run down the hallway to go and turn to the right. And then,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Yes, Georgine.
I would ask that if you took the package from the other day, that you would not refer to it because there's been some changes. So I've given everybody a new package.
Maker seems to be gone.
Maker seems to be gone.
Okay.
You would refer. So the only thing that's been on the LFO memorandum and the one dated May 18th is your signature.
So the memorandum's okay, just got your signature.
May 18th is not going
to
be
referred to her. Okay, the
guys are complaining. All right. Yeah. Some minor changes.
Okay,
you're right on the other side.
The May 18th memo is at the back of the package that I just distributed.
Okay.
You have three items in that package. The department's packages, and it's within its presentation, a e-board type request, and the last item in that package that I just distributed is the memorandum. Oh, okay, I'll have a recommendation.
You want to go through your recommendations, please?
Okay, was the committee interested in any review of the department's program for children?
I'd rather not reopen it to a hearing, and the reason is we're trying to get this budget out of the committee. We've looked at program packages, and I think we've all been contacted regarding the program packages. I'm going to ask that we not reopen the hearing. This is a work session, so if you would pass that to Senator Gordley, it's not an intention to keep her from speaking, Sharon. This is a work session today, so I appreciate, but we're under a limited time constraint there. Thanks, Sharon.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you will refer to the memorandum dated May 18th that I have signed, it's the last one again in your package. Background, I hope the Housing and Community Services does. It has eight policy packages that add 18 positions and 11 of those positions are named. 7 are currently working in the department's programs with limited duration staff. LFO recommendations. Number 1, approve the current service level in the following policy packages. Package number 125, which maintains fiduciary trust. The department has a number of properties and complex tax laws and bond requirements that they have to keep or inspect these properties and make sure that both the tenants who live there and developers and owners comply with all of the rules and regulations and requirements. This package has $810,192.
Senator Yee.
Sorry, but I can't find the 18th memo.
It's in the back of your package. You just send it out. Is there a thick packet there? That one, and it's very loud.
Very loud. Two pages in
there. Okay. Okay, Georgine.
Okay, 125 has $810,892 other funds and $205,710 federal funds. There are 8 FTE added in this package. I believe 4 of those are limited duration. 4 of those are limited duration. Positions that are currently filled, they have staff working on them, and they're asking that they remove. Package number 135 is the community partnering package, $49,531 general fund, $655,404 federal fund, $113,253 federal fund, and six FTE full-time equivalent. One of the six positions is currently on the
Okay.
She might cover my question.
All right. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, for the committee, the community partnering tank is listed on the task force staff persons for the community solutions team. These are positions that take care primarily of the housing issues in terms of community development and developing affordable housing. But they also have the other responsibilities of coordinating with the other departments that are part of the community solutions team. The part of the other funds that support this package come from T21 Transportation Efficiency Act funds, and I think it's about $457,000. Therefore, we've got general fund in there that is used to match those federal funds.
Are those federal funds, the T21 funds, is that part of the 655 or part of the 113,000?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it is part of the 655,000.
So
it comes in.
So the 655,000, how much of that is T21 funds?
I believe it's 455,000. Okay.
That's close enough. Okay, Representative Carter, do you have a question?
I just, four of the six people are on the CSP. What are the other two positions? What are their primary purpose?
The other two positions, one is a field representative that helps develop affordable housing in not within the metropolitan area. They work on special kinds of developing financing packages for special kinds of housing, like the housing for pregnant teenagers. And they also work with projects that have some problems come up, there are difficulties that have to be resolved. And other position is, can I just say that to
yes.
The department?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other position that the staff is talking about is the position that would incorporate the consolidated funding cycle, which we participate with the federal government to get the information to them, collected to represent how the state will deal with the community delivering services statewide. And then also that position would be being the housing, especially a housing fairness position, so it have two roles, just to make sure that dealing with fair housing issues relative to our federal funded programs, that we don't have issues of discrimination going out relative to the clientele that are currently in residence.
Yes,
indeed. The other question is the general fund that's in this package, does that fund the CFT or the funding to other two positions?
I believe that is the match for the federal money that funds the community solution team.
Okay.
Small person.
These two other positions, are they funded with the federal funds or the other funds, and what dollar amounts?
They're funded with federal funds. Program rep funded with federal home grant money. And the other position is funded with bond earnings.
So it's just like a scheme to
get. Yeah.
Thank you. So we've got money out of other funds and federal funds that are funding these two rural positions. Do you know the dollar amounts in each one of those?
No, not exactly.
We probably have a pitch close.
Representative Scarf, the record deputy chief financial officer, is also in for a biannual gift slightly under $100,000. Range 29 is the one position, and the other one is range 27, I believe. So it's in the $90,000 range.
Per person?
Per person.
So $180,000.
That's correct.
All
on an annual. Oh, that's on an annual basis with benefits. And
further questions? Representative Atkins?
Chair, I think Representative Starpoint's on an important point. We've been wrestling with this community solutions team. I'm not very comfortable. I don't think other members of the House and Dr. Zemp are fully comfortable there. The exact makeup of how the community solutions team are going to be made up and what's going to go into them. First, I'd ask Director Refine if there's any other money that can be identified aside from the C21 money for housing to fund any of these, are there other funds that are available in any other places that you can see to fund any of these. I think that we have some of these housing positions that need it, if there's any other place you can identify any other money.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I am Bob Refine, Director of Housing and Community Services, and to represent Patrick's question, there are resources within our agency with limitations, obviously. We can use our bond spread, we do in many of our positions, to fund these, could be funding some of these positions. The reality that we are faced with is we have currently four people, as I've stated to this committee before, that conduct the housing activities on a statewide basis, so there's four individuals who cover the entire geographical points of the state. We are at the point now where our activity, because of us, our promotion of housing in all communities, has become extensively a burden for those four, and we need, effectively, whether or not they're a CST or not, we still need some additional presence in the state, or we're going to find we're not going to have those four people, and we'll be having to train new people and start the curve all over again. So, yes, the answer to your question, Representative, there are funds within our limitations that we could use from our bond spread. That's a possibility, and to what degree that would also involve relative to the overall TST activity would predicate how many that would be.
Okay, fair just a follow-up here. Mr. Jones, I realize that you want to work this budget today, but there are other funds that are available that the Department could use to fund some of these teams. I'm concerned about the community solution team. I'm asking for some direction from the chair, I guess, to allow the director to. I think that there's a need. I think that the housing inventory is building really very rapidly. Many areas of the state are expanding and the population is increasing. I think there's a need for more and more housing across the state. So I'd like to give them some flexibility to do what needs to be done and also maybe free up some resources internally without taking the $221 dollars that we could use on our roads so much to run this program.
Well, Representative, if you look at the $455,000 that would probably be used as T21 funds, it wouldn't take you very far in a $2 billion budget on ODOT. So if you look at the $455,000, it would probably maybe overlay one city street or something, but it probably wouldn't do a lot of things beyond that. My point I'm trying to make is that I have some concerns about the community solutions team. I want to make sure they're locally empowered to make decisions. But I think that's an issue yet to be decided by some of these other substantive committees who have the bill to set up community solutions teams. This is a budget item. The governor's office, we're going to be looking at this in ODOT's budget, economic development's budget, so it's just not unique to this budget. Then the Natural Resources Subcommittee is going to be looking at some DEQ and LCDC, and I don't know who all else is involved. So, if I can finish. And I think this is an attempt to broaden the impact so we take a local group into a community and make, hopefully, better decisions based upon the information that is gathered by all the different agencies incorporated. So I guess I share some of the same concerns that you have, but at the same time, I'm not so certain if we shouldn't be taken from other divisions within the Housing Community Services to backfill something that we might possibly be able to use on a smaller match with state general funds. But I'm open to the will of the committee. Representative Starr?
I have an idea of the way that we can get around perhaps this part of the puzzle. I think the concern on the CST, is it possible to pull this person out of not only his budget, but ODOT budget, put it into a separate package, kind of like we did with the technology piece that was in the other, was in the health-related licensing board, where we took that kind of out and had it on its own?
Anything that's possible if you have full votes of a committee, 16 in the Senate, 31 in the House, and a governor willing to sign it.
Well,
that's the process of work.
You could turn it holding up all these budgets on one issue where there's discomfort.
I would respectfully offer you an alternative to that. That is to meet with Representative Lewis, Senator Timms, and Senator Kutub as the co-chairs to say this is what our ideas would be, how can we best approach this, rather than trying to lead it here in the committee. Out of respect for you today, if we can work as much of this budget as possible without taking final action on that item to give you time to pursue something. Representative Patrick.
Chair, I guess I have a question for Director Repine, and maybe a director, maybe a question for LFO. If we unscheduled this, subject to 221 money coming in, we unscheduled the 49,531 in general fund, and we unscheduled the 455 portion subject to the. Because really the transportation department is the one that holds the key that we're going to pass it through to the other departments. Is that correct?
If I understand your inquiry is, Georgine, would it be appropriate to design a budget note that would direct the agency to come back to the e-board and report how this money is to be spent and then reschedule the funds? Is that your question?
Well, yeah. There's been a lot of things that we've unscheduled subject to.
That's what I'm saying.
Committee, so, you know, and that way we could deal with the T21 money in one budget, and it would be subject to whatever. That way we wouldn't have to go through and change it. And I'm comfortable with that. I would like to have resolved this ahead of time. We've tried multiple times with the governor's office to try and resolve this, and now we're sitting here. And trying to stay with the will of the chair and move forward, but at the same time have a higher comfort level for us.
Hey, Representative Slater.
I think the concern if we did that, though, that would give them the spending authority regardless. And I guess I like the idea of you trying to work this now, but I have a problem with that. I think President Starr and Chair's earlier suggestion may be more appropriate.
Okay, Senator Keith, I'm sorry.
Okay. While all of this other discussion is going on, I'd like to ask a question so I can look in my details about where the 11 new positions are, so I can be looking at them.
Mr. Chair, Senator Q-Tub, they are in the various packages. As we go
these
through.
Packages?
Yes.
Which ones are new and which ones are? Because they add up to a whole lot more than 11. The 11 packages, I mean the 11 new positions, there are 4 in package 125. An accountant, an office special. Somebody keeps up here. This is a copy of those things.
That is?
No.
It's a copy of those.
Okay. I don't want to hold up any. I just want to look at this one.
Okay. package 135 that we're currently talking about, five of the positions are new. And all of them except the one that was on project development. The project development is an existing position.
Senator Duke?
Yeah, I wanted to put my 2 cents worth into the housing representatives coming out of T21 money. We've kicked this around so often. And just to say, I think that the budget is a good budget, except for that piece. I think that housing will do a good job if they can get those positions out of some other funds. And I've said this to the governor's office from the beginning. I think we deserve that we invest money from their budget rather than stealing it from somebody else. And the $400,000, you can fix a dangerous intersection. You can install a traffic signal and do things to stop people from getting killed. So even though it's a small amount of money, it can have a real impact in the community. And I think that that's where it deserves to be. Instead of, I mean, making a case for housing reps out of the T21 is a real stretch at best. Yes, they do things that they have to take into consideration to whether or not they're going to stress the roads when they put their housing in, but it's not a very direct route to get there. So I hope that we can work something out. And I'm sorry it's come to the point where now we're at the kind of budget and possibly delaying it, because I don't mean to do that.
Okay. Representative Patrick.
Sure. I don't know if you want to go through the rest. I'll come with the rest.
I'd like to go through the rest.
Okay, now we'll take a motion.
Mary Jean, if you take the rest of it.
Okay. Did everyone get all their questions answered on item 35?
Yes.
Move to 145. Package 145 is the Information Systems Initiative. That is $1,450,756 of other funds. There are 3 FTE. 2 of those 3 FTE are currently working in regulation positions. This is important for the agency for a couple of reasons. Part of it is to address their Y2K issues, remediating and testing their systems. In the recent past, they have had to transition their loan information system from a running to another platform. That has been completed, but during the time they were working on that, they have to put other IS kinds of needs on hold or delayed those. Also, they have had systems that don't communicate with each other, different systems within the department that don't communicate with each other. One of the objectives in this is to develop and implement a database so that they can share information with their partners. They work with a number of community action agencies and some community development organizations around the state. The other thing that I would share with you about this package is that it was evaluated by Department of Administrative Services, IIMD, Information Resource Management Department, and that during the course of that evaluation, there were a number of questions raised, and the package was adjusted between agency requests to government budget. So what you see here, so this is pared down considerably from what they started off with. Based on those that information, I would recommend that you approve this package.
Okay. Representative Schrader.
You indicated, in previous testimony, I thought there was something about the ratio of the network administrator to station stuff, and there was an 11-to-1 ratio brought up, and that seemed to be high compared to some of the other budgets we've worked since we worked this one several months ago. I was wondering if staff or the director could just comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Schrader, I think the best explanation is we are somewhat unique as far as the state agency goes, is that we have one presence that's here in Salem. However, we have probably extensively over 160 to 200 other partners that reside in each of your communities. They rely very strongly on our engagement of giving them their technical assistance, help them with the program design to profile their needs for data reasons within their community. So even though we are 100, you know, if the ratio is 11-to-1 internally, we also do an amazing amount of outreach to the communities to help them do their scanning, acquire them equipment,
design software that makes their reporting processes for programs that they undertake both efficient and effective, so we can transmit information back and forth, so they aren't working in the dark relative to information that they might need for other activities such as grant writing and defending or making statements of what the needs of communities are.
Yes, that's on the list. I appreciate the information, but I am concerned because ODOT also has tremendous presence throughout the state, lots of offices, et cetera, and they're at 150 to 1. So I won't belabor the point, but I think it's just, can I ask another question?
Yeah, please.
Is there any consideration, or maybe it's already in here and I didn't see it, that these positions are still limited duration, since particularly some of them are related to Y2K, as Ellis indicated?
That's great, Doug.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Trader, the two of those three positions were limited duration. They have become more integrated into the services as we are changing a lot of our development strategies as the legislative staff person reported from one platform language to another. So we're in a sensibly short-term design change of our product, which required development processor to accomplish that for us. We've also, in the spirit of becoming more efficient, have stopped doing outside contract work that was costing us probably five times the amount of money and brought that activity in-house so we can pare down the cost of those programs and have a better product. We have not been successful, quite frankly, in some of our outside partnerships relative to designing a program because of both the demand that's out there in the technology world, and we're just one small fish in the ocean of many fish. So we brought that activity inside to try to do a better job of developing products as opposed to spending five to one on outside contracting. So that also causes us to be more active inside the building.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions?
We're not on that package yet, so I guess I'll get to the 165.
Okay. Senator Gibbs?
A little long over here. Have we get the do not approve the following policy packages yet?
No. We are on package 145, Information Specialist Initiative.
I'll figure
it out. Okay. Further questions? All right, Georgine, if you want to continue, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the other thing I would like to say that I failed to say about 145 is that the department has the responsibility for maintaining data at the state's housing, and that's one of the things that they have not been able to do in the past because they haven't had sample resources. Moving on to package number 155, Social Investment Integration. This is the package that allows the department to better link critical services to housing for individuals and families who are struggling to maintain self-sufficiency. It's $147,423 federal funds and one FTE, which is new. Okay.
Yeah, certainly.
Thank you. I have a letter here that originally, it doesn't sound like this is part of the package anymore, so that's my question. The food bank, package 155.
That was, Mr. Chairman, Representative Fuso, that was deleted in the governor's final budget presentation for that issue that you haven't heard.
So why didn't we responsible people decide that it still needs to be in the budget?
Georgie, you want to comment on
Mr.
that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cuton, the process, the agency develops its agency request, and then it goes through the review process, and the governor comes up with his recommended budget.
Mm-hmm. And then the legislature balances it. That's what they want to do. And that my question was why didn't we who are responsible put it back in?
We certainly can entertain a motion any time, but it's not a figure that's been given to us by the leadership, to the best of my knowledge.
Right, maybe they need to know a little bit more.
Okay.
And I apologize, Mr. Chair, because I was not in here when we originally did this budget, so. But people do that to
me. No, that's fine.
They come in and ask questions when they were in the discussion.
Is there further questions? Ms. Haley, if you want to move on to this.
Okay, package number 165 is the office relocation. The agency is currently in rented space. Their lease is going to expire not in the immediate future, but in the foreseeable future, the next year or two. They are planning to move into the more small buildings, the rent poles are constructed, both on the drawing board and the process. It will give the agency some efficiencies in the sense that they will pay less rent on uniform rent. This money is for moving expenses and $540,075 of other funds, you know.
All right.
Number two, do not approve the following policy taxes. Package number 115 is a housing profit fund enhancement. That's $5 million of general fund. That is in addition to the trust fund money that they have traditionally had in their base budget. Package 175 is the incentive.
Representative Schrader.
Package 115, I guess I'd like some clarification while we're backing that on. It seemed like it was kind of a very small amount given the original need, and the director had pushed real hard for this, and we've had a lot of people down here looking for some affordable housing money, and I was hoping we could do something for them. I wonder if there was some other plan that I'm just not aware of.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know of another plan. There may be some things that are under consideration. This is being backed out because it is necessary in order to spend the legislative budget.
Thank you. I have a question in regards to the refund. That's in 115, that's $5 million from general fund. Is there any other available funds in your other funds or federal funds or that could be used in that for this category, for this item?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Starr, currently a variety of our funding streams use federal program dollars already from that trust fund dollars and leverage those. So to your question, no, the trust fund money is a separate, distinct process that is used with really very little strings attached to it, so communities have very flexible opportunities to use that money to acquire property, do pre-development work on their proposals that they bring to us, whereas federal programs have very specific ties and regulations on how they can use their dollars. So the money, being dollars equal, the ability to use the general fund dollars in the way it's fashioned in the trust fund versus using other funds or federal funds not as pliable.
Representative Packers?
Thank you, Chair. In regards to Package 115, while I'd like to see money in the housing trust fund and more money in the housing trust fund, I understand in one of the budget conditions that we've got. I'd also like to point my colleagues to House Bill 2007, which is trying to work its way through the House. It has a work session, I believe, tomorrow as well. That was part of that trust fund idea with the tobacco settlement money to spin off some of the interest into the housing trust fund. I can't fill this fund, so that helps out anyone else on the committee and offer that up.
Thanks for the discussion. Senator Dutton.
I share the concern, Mr. Chair. It's always hard to balance what we have to do now with the future. And I think we have to look to the future on this stuff. We know that we're losing housing as housing units that have been in effect, the contracts come out. We know we're losing units, and we're right on the edge of losing possibly, potentially, a whole bunch of them all at once. And if we're not looking to the future, our communities are really going to suffer. And I'm just curious, and you may not have the answer, but I assume you're in those discussions. We just got a revenue forecast that says that in August the kicker may not kick. And if it doesn't, then there's money that goes into the ending fund balance. And it is possible to do something, I'm not sure exactly what you do to get there, but that would say that if it doesn't, that we take a certain amount, $5 million or whatever it is, out of that. And it goes into the housing trust fund. So it's not touching, it doesn't impact the budget that we're putting together, but it does. You know, if the additional money becomes
available instead of just sticking it in the ending fund balance, we would be able to fill this need and put it in the trust.
Okay. Representative Gregor, we put a dollar, sir, to reserve a place for Senator B.
I was just going to suggest a compromise. I would recommend that we accept the LFO recommendation for the delete of the $5 million general fund and insert $1 other funds. And accompanying budget note that they would be directed to come back to the E-Board with a plan for creation of a housing trust fund and the use of other funds. Interest on tobacco tax, lottery bonded indebtedness, you tell us how you're going to do it, and the $1 gives you a very large seat at the table. And so the no vacancy sign is down and you got a room at the end.
Mr. Chair, would it have to be other funds? I mean,
I think it would be appropriate with other funds because if you want to use tobacco tax interest, it would have to be classified as other funds. If you want to use lottery, it's other funds.
But and if the kicker didn't kick, that would be general.
That is a technical issue, and I don't think we went ahead in that direction. But other funds, I think, would be acceptable.
Well,
Representative Butler,
on package 115, recommendation 2 there. Really, is your recommendation that we leave the reduction of the $5 million of other fund, or general fund, and that we insert in the lieu thereof
$1 other fund.
Put $1 of other funds, but we would still leave the deletion of the $5 million of general fund.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Debbie?
I was going to say that a budget note is designation. Since you also say in case the kicker does not sit there, then general fund would be available.
We're not going to venture down that path.
No, that's not what you suggested.
No. And we're not going to venture in that direction.
But it is better.
I understand that we may have some additional resources, but maybe we should travel down that path. That's a long distance path.
Well, if there's $150 million available, then there's room for this.
Then that's a policy decision that the 90 legislators will have to make. Senator Duke?
Just one more question, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
There seems to be some interest here. The next time you meet with the co-chairs, you just mentioned that there seems to be some interest in your subcommittee for that.
I
think I'll kick you out of the meeting.
I'll be glad to extend your wishes.
Thank you.
All right, is there further discussion? The chair would now move that we adopt package 115 by accepting the recommendation of LFO to delete $5 million general fund and insert the acceptance of $1 other funds. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to be voting for that.
Okay.
I don't know what Commissioner Schrader is doing, but Commissioner Starr is not here.
Okay. Is there any other objection in addition to Representative Beck? Not the motion carried. It's crazy. It's not a
question, but I can't really.
All right. Package 175.
Can we check in the 15 in the Senate for a little bit? What is the meeting?
Mr. Chairman, this package number 175 is the incentive plan. This is the lottery revenue bonds to provide some grants, a fund for grants that local agencies can apply for, local governments, private developers, nonprofit community groups could apply for. These funds would be available for projects such as development and needed infrastructure that would help to create additional jobs that could be used for mixed use, real estate development, or revitalization of in the first year of the biennium, it's designed to, they plan to set up an advisory board with representation from all of the interest groups.
including state and local government, to develop criteria and incentives for using the money. It's for bonding of $25 million and the additional $683,598 is for the cost of additional bonds, et cetera. And package 950 is associated with that. This is the estimated amount of the debt service for the first biennium. They would not issue those bonds until probably the middle of the biennium, and so the debt service is for 1 year, less than 1 year. And so it's pretty low, I think, ongoing. The debt service on the $25 million bonds would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $45 million. Those two are not approving it. I recommending not approving.
Okay. Let's move to item three.
Item three, these are technical adjustments. The state treasurer revised the way it assesses the its charges for debt management. Previously it didn't assess much for the COTs and revenue bonds, the department, and they assessed more on the basis of general obligation bonds. The department has a large portfolio of revenue bonds, and as a result, their costs for the state treasury services have gone up to $210,177. The next one, they expect more federal revenues. Last biennium, they had prepared their budget based on continued federal programs, and the federal department, housing and urban development, indicated that they were phasing out programs, and so we decreased their federal revenue in the last biennium. This year, they had prepared their budget on the basis that HUD was going to continue decreasing its involvement in available money, and they now find that they're going to probably get an additional more revenue than they have in their budget. This is a matter to increase their expenditure limitation for these increased federal revenues, $4.7 million.
Yes, Representative Schrader.
And what will that money be going for?
The various grant and loan programs to develop affordable housing have been directly funded. Give you more specific time.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schrader, on the back of that page that you're working off of number 18, it is expressed as the federal programs is what the anticipation of this register.
Okay.
Number four, increase the general fund by $14,949. This is the 4% reduction that the leadership is asked for on all general fund administrative expenses. Their administration on their general fund is, the cost of administering their general fund dollars is $373, so 4% is that amount. Number five, reduce the other fund's expenditure limitation by $2,010 other funds and $748 federal funds. This reflects the reduction that the Public Safety Subcommittee made in reducing the AG charge rate from $92 an hour to $90 an hour. Mr. Chair, item number six is the Department is asking that you approve their request to submit a request for proposal to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to become the contract administrator for housing and urban development selected Section 8 developments in the state. The second item in your package is an emergency board type letter of request that the Department of Administrative Services announced. Essentially, all this does is give them the opportunity, there's the permission to apply to submit a response to this request or proposal. There has been some uncertainty in HUD's directions. They developed some cost estimates on the back of that page, and since they developed those cost estimates, some of the rules of HUD have changed. So they want to be able to submit a request for proposal, but if the final guidelines and parameters under which they would have to comply with HUD's contract is not feasible, then they would not sign the contract to administer these projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify the Georgine's explanation, this is in anticipation that this request will go out now and be subject to possibly board review, and I know how sensitive the e-board gets on post-acknowledgement of proposals around the table. So this is really was just a forewarning to the committee of our intent to pursue this. This issue speaks to directly to what the chair mentioned in our original visit with you of his concerns about housing or HUD federal housing that seems to be in a very dilapidated stage. We had admitted to you that we currently have about 128 properties in our portfolio, but there is in excess of another 400 plus of properties that HUD is now putting out for RFP, which they become the asset property managers of, which in turn would improve the quality of those establishments that seem to be a blight on many of our communities. And so it's our attempt to try to take over that activity to improve the quality of life and the continuation of those affordable units that HUD wants to just bail out.
Okay. Representative Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But who does this currently? Do you do this currently?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patrick, we currently have a small portion of the HUD portfolio, as I mentioned, 128 units, because we have some financial involvement with those loans. The other ones are subject to HUD enforcement activities, of which their presence is minimal at best. And that's why you see them wanting to get out of the system.
Nobody's doing it on a statewide basis.
Right.
We put it on a statewide basis.
This will be a very difficult undertaking. This will be a very difficult undertaking by anybody who takes this on, because you will be going to landowners who have obligations to the federal government who have not lived up to those obligations. So this will be a very contentious relationship.
And if you hire tender staff, if this works, you would hire tender staff members. Is there, assuming you're getting federal money to do this, and that this money then, is there any indication from them that they would continue to fund this, or would they decrease this position and we would have to pick it up?
Chair Representative Schrader, I indicated in the initial RFP that it would be 2 years with options that have to be mutually agreed upon for three additional one-year extensions.
I've heard the chair and the state approach before. I would support this position. However, if at any time federal funding was withdrawn, that the position would be eliminated. So therefore, should we make it as a limited duration position?
Mr. Chairman, the intent is not to debate the 10 positions at this point.
No.
But at the time, we would enter into a contract that would clearly delineate what the long-term relationship would be and would make our signature of that document subject to what their partnership will be with us for the long haul.
Okay. All right, thank you. For the question,
I have a question for package number 175. I was wondering why that was deleted. That's lottery bond, I believe.
Senator Bruce, yes, there was some concerns and stuff about leadership in regard to the legislative budget from the issues of lottery bond. And so that was not on the what was expressed to me was whether or not we're issuing too many lottery bonds, the obligation of lottery bonds, and the debt service, and that's the issue.
What is the total debt service fee? This is a how many years bond?
I think it's designed for 15
years. So what was the total debt service?
Right underneath 841. That's for 1 year. The biennium would be double that.
Actually, the debt service would be considerably more because I think I got the information from the data that it would be between 4 and 5 million per biennium is the debt service. On 25 million.
25 million. 15 million. Okay. Because I think, Mr. Chair, that this is part of the rural initiative package in North Dakota.
This is part of the Oregon Livability Incentive Plan which includes the T21 money for the field presence to integrate the services. So it's a package of the Governor's Oregon Livability Incentive Plan.
Is this part of the sort of rebuilding downtowns and rural communities kind of thing?
That's the focus. It's designed to be focused on rural communities and stressed communities.
percentage of my concern. The biggest city in my district is 10,000 people. I mean, that's metropolitan where I live. I have a concern. I don't know if maybe this session, if we're taking out, we're not doing any lottery bonds. My understanding is that we are doing some lottery bonding in some budgets. So I guess I would understand it better if we weren't doing any. We just said we hit our max, we're not going to do any more. I would understand that. But if we're doing some and not doing others, this is one that actually sounded like a good proposal to me.
Yeah, thank you. All right, have we covered item 7?
No, Mr. Chair, item 7 is simply amendment to the healthcare 503 to ensure that that section is clear, that it's a federal revenue. I copied it showing exactly what the change we're changing. We're creating administrative fees and including federal revenue from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development for municipal costs.
Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm moving on. Would you prefer that I miss? I'd like to move to amend package 135 to the LFO recommendation in regards to the new inclusion team.
Okay.
Backing out the $49,531 in general fund. And instead of the $665,404 in other funds, this figure would be
$209,630. And that's taking out the
T21 money? That's taking out the T21 money and the general fund match to that T21 money. The reason for doing that is we haven't had any resolution on the community solutions team. We have to do that as a separate package or as a, or in one of the others. The OEDC is to hold that budget depending on how we can put that together.
Is that a motion?
So I would move that piece up to 135. At this point, and then following that, I'll move the whole.
Okay. And then leave the federal funds remaining the same at 113,000.
Yes, and that's for those other two positions, is my understanding.
Okay.
And that the director thought that the reason for doing this was backing up that he's going to be
okay.
Mr. Chair. May I make sure I'm understanding exactly what I'm going to be saying? The package would be no general funds, $209,630 other funds, $113,253 federal funds, and the 6 FTE. Is that correct?
2 FTE. It would be 2 FTE.
2 FTE. Thank you.
Is there a discussion?
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a
question? Mr. Greenside.
Again, for the sake of those positions, those four, and I understand the motion that the representative made, how do you see if, in the light of the CSC discussion not moving ahead, the issue relative to some presence of improving my core presence that are in the state of Oregon today to get up to the workflow that we really do? So I guess that's my question. What's the option that I might have?
If I can offer the representative possible solution, it would be to direct Department of Administrative Services to schedule the money for the community solutions team. That way they can't spend it unless they come back to the board and get the money reinstated. If the community solutions team legislation does not get passed, then there would be no expenditure limitation for them to use. You understand what I'm...
I understand.
It's a mechanical thing to achieve what you're after, Senator Duke.
I would prefer not to go there. What you're doing is unscheduling funds that I don't want to spend in this agency. And you're allowing the emergency board to give them to them later. And I'm okay if you want to take it out of that bonding stretch you talked about that I sort of understand, so that they get their people. But I'm not interested in giving them the T21 money to get from there.
Representative Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support the motion. I think that that this can be, in the discussion of the community solutions team, big picture can be incorporated into another vehicle. Funding can be incorporated into that vehicle. And this whole issue can be dealt with outside of these budgets. I'd like to move these budgets forward, not have this one issue, and slow down that process for progress.
Representative Patrick?
Mr. Chair, to respond to Representative, or just by the director, respond.
still haven't gotten used to it yet. I don't know what we need to do in terms of approval. If there's other possibilities, how would you go about coming to the e-board or someone else to, for the expansion on position? I wouldn't be opposed to leaving some positions in there so that if there were other funds available, he could come to e-board or whatever and ask for an extension on those things and we could approve the positions. I'm not, I don't object to that portion of it, because you have to come with the positions and the other funds and ask for them to see where it's coming from.
Your heartburn is over the T21 fund, and that's what you want to back
that
out.
Is, well, that needs to...
I think my concern is that there is, I feel as a department need to have more than four people trying to deal with the housing needs of the state. If it's four or some number less, I don't know, relative to what, how the CFP blends with it. I just need to want to have some way to have some predictability that I have some venue to follow for those additional positions, whatever they are, based on the final conclusion of this discussion.
Could you come up, please? Is there anything to prohibit Housing and Community Services from coming into the board and asking for a limitation increase on FTEs?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the agency can always come before the e-board and ask for increase in FTE.
So, in response to the representative's question, the agency can come in and apply anytime during the interim for FTE increase.
If they can always come, I got distracted there. They can come to the agency can come before the e-board and ask for full-time equivalent positions, permanent positions.
Okay.
But the position is
subject to
the
approval.
Mr. Chair, the CFP is subject to our funds and if the e-board approves the request for the positions.
Representative Schrader.
Pretty well done, I think, with the previous question, but Representative Patrick's motion.
Representative Patrick now moves that we adopt the LFO recommendation with the following provision as amended. Delete the $49,531 of number 135 community partnering and reduce from $665,404 down to $209,630 other funds and remain the same at $113,253 federal funds, 6.0 FTE. Okay, and that 6.0 FTE would be reduced to 2.0 FTE. Is there further discussion? Is there objection?
I have a question. On 115 is revised as adding $1 in the budget.
We're just going with 135 right now.
I thought the action, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, it sounded like your motion was on all of LFO's recommendations with the exception of 135.
What
I heard.
I would restate the motion then that this applies only to the adoption of the motion on recommendation number 135, community partnering. Is there further discussion?
I'm going to object.
Let the record show that Representative Beck votes no, and the motion carries.
Chair.
Representative Beck.
At the risk of being a burr to everybody's Annie today, I will, I'd like to move approval of packages 115, 175, and 950.
Representative Beck now makes a motion that the committee approve the packages 115, package 175, package 950, and we will be recessed momentarily. This question, all those in favor of moving the main motion of the motion to accept the recommendation to add back package 115, package 175, and package 950. Clerk, call the roll.
No.
No.
It's open my instructions.
Kim?
No.
Beck?
Aye.
Prater?
Aye.
Butler?
No.
Patrick?
No.
Star?
No.
And the motion fails. Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5533 with the LFO recommendation as amended by this committee today to the full committee with a DFAS recommendation.
Representative Patrick now moves that we move Senate or House Bill 5533 as amended to the LFO recommendation and the adjustments including the reduction in the general fund the 4% for the co-chair's request and other funds. Before we take a motion on that, Ms. Repine, could you identify how much the money is available for the Oregon Food Bank?
Currently in your budget, there is a funding level of
1.9750,
which I think is pretty much what it was in line with last budget cycle. There were some additional requests that I think Senator Ketchup has in a letter in front of her that was suggested in our original application for the budgeting process as submitted to DAS. Those items fell out of the final budget that was submitted by the governor for consideration, which had some increased funding for their food bank activities and also, if I remember correctly, approximately $1 million to help build a larger facility so they could increase their productivity of delivering food on a statewide basis.
And by the way, one of the reasons they need that is because there's a dilapidated building that they're redistributing the food out of, and they need it.
Representative, sir?
On that issue, I understand the money fell out of the government budget, but what was the source of the funds in the original proposal?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Starr, it was envisioned to be general fund.
Okay, and so that issue has not been addressed in our budget recommendations.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Actually, there was, the chair remembers that back in our original presentation, there was a variety of proponents that came to talk to you about that issue, emergency assistance, housing, and some shelter resources also, and some capacity for CDC.
The chair's going to take a little liberty here to ask the co-chair a procedural question. If we were to commit $1 general fund for the food bank program and allow the Housing Community Services Division to come back to the e-board in case some of these so-called ending balances don't occur and there's some additional funds left over, that the agency should come back to the e-board for the release of some of these funds, because the governor's original proposal, or the housing division's original proposal, envisioned using the general fund money. Would the co-chair object to a dollar limitation for this so that they have a seat at the e-board?
Given an opportunity to use your access funds.
Yes.
We're getting famous for dollars in budget.
That definitely probably stop me, hell.
I can't see any problem with
this. Just a moment. Can we keep him? Would that make you feel a little easier if they were able to come back at a later time?
It's probably the only way that I would support their budget.
Okay. I'm trying to find a middle ground.
And I don't know if it's quite middle. $1 versus $1 million is pretty far apart.
Yeah, but it's
just in the access. I don't necessarily think that it has to be general fund. I think there may be other ways of doing this, and some people might be real creative in finding them. And if that $1 opens the opportunity to be able to find some creativity, I would be willing to do that. It's just that I know that what the food bank does. I believe former Representative Repine and Director Repine know too, and they've been very supportive of this effort in the past. But I know that working poor actually come and work, redistributing and repackaging all the food so they can have a little bit of food for their family. And it's just as ridiculous, believe it or not, the budget.
Well, I want you to know I certainly don't disagree, and I think what Jerry Tippins and others through the food bank have done is we need to rally around and support it, but I want to make sure you have a place to come in and ask for some funding. Representative Patrick.
Chair, I move to amend my motion to include $1 for the food bank.
Okay.
Yes, it provides a list. The e-board can make modifications to that $1.
Well, that if you didn't believe that. You heard the recommendation, Senator Yee.
So is this $1 general fund or
$1 general fund? Would you rather make it other funds?
Well, I would need some expertise in determining what really gives the most flexibility. If we put $1 general funds, would that prohibit us from using other funds?
Yes.
Yes. You can't have other funds than general funds? It should be both. Oh,
This should not be an issue, because it's just like appearing before the e-board and asking for an additional limitation. So I don't see the reason for even why you should have a dollar one general fund limitation right now.
The line item is doing us wrong, Mr. Chair.
Because you already have a general fund line item, and this is just coming and asking for and as long as we have a budget note, I wasn't here in the earlier part of the discussion, so but if you want, you can put a $1 general fund limitation. Otherwise, the agency will just come and make a request for additional funds.
Well, let me give the members a little bit of history. This building that we're now setting in the Capitol Wings were appropriated for $1 in 1975. And in 1977, they came back and appropriated $17 million to pay for the $1. So the method of using the $1 allows any agency to come back. Now, if you want to make it $1 other funds, $1 general fund, and say, go out and raise some matching money, that's something we can consider here. I'm trying to reach comfort level so members will vote for the budget.
Mr. Chair, I think in the capital construction budget, there has to be a $1 limitation.
Okay.
And the budget you
would... Would you prefer that we deal with the construction facility and the capital construction budget then? Is that what you're really saying?
No, I'm kind of trying to think. Since this may turn out to be a capital construction project, then we would need it. So that we would go, my recommendation would be to have a $1 general fund and a $1 other fund limitation.
In this.
Yeah.
Okay. You've heard the recommendation that we adopt the LFO recommendation along with the motion by Representative Patridge on item 135 and now item 155 that we appropriate, wait a minute. Is that it? 155?
Yeah.
We appropriate $1 and no FTE general fund, $1 no FTE other fund.
Mr. Chairman, for clarification?
Yes.
The $1 other fund is for construction of the food distribution
facility. For potential construction of the distribution facility.
Yeah. Well, it's
there's smaller things.
Food acquisition and distribution.
Yes.
So if the $1 is for the Oregon Food Bank, new facility and acquisition and distribution.
We better let the high priest and prophet make a comment before he goes ballistic. Mr. Kenton, would you like to make a comment?
I wonder
if I'm going to see you. I think I've had, by the conversation, resolved the only concern that I would have, and if it is for state, the state's capital construction, it cannot be in the operating bill. If it's for a grant, for an outside entity to do the construction, it can be in the operating bill. The emergency board has authority to create limitations or to make allocations for functions that were not considered during the budget or for emergencies. So really the difference between a direction in the budget note for them to come to the emergency board when they have some either other funds or a purpose for a request for an emergency fund allocation, the difference between just that direction and $1 is about that much of additional comfort level and or solidity behind the concept. $1 has more value in the bill than $1 would have in buying the products and services that it's intended.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, before you make a motion, I just want to clarify for the record that for the project that Senator Cusa was talking about, the capital project, I think.
Those are in addition to the LFO recommendation of the 147, 423 federal funds and one FTE.
Okay. My point I was going to make you is that the capitalization of that actual net finished product is a capital fundraising campaign that's going on right now in the greater Portland and the state of Oregon. So I don't want anybody in the community believing that the $1 million is a $3 million plus project.
Mm-hmm.
So there is matching funds, and that's why their request has been so crucial, because for them to be able to leverage other dollars, it's encouraging to have state dollars sitting that could be used as matches to accomplish those fundraising activities.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Senator Duke.
Somewhere in your motion is the $1 for other funds for the Housing Trust Fund. Is it in there? In
yes.
Motion? Okay.
Clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schrader.
Are we voting on the whole budget now? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Pardon me?
We've already voted on package 135. Now we're voting on the whole package with the amendments you're suggesting.
Right.
Okay.
Is there further discussion?
Well, we have $2 attached to it. $1 for
other funds, $1 general funds.
And
okay.
And there's no additional federal funds anticipated other than 147,423.
No. Okay. Well, the clerk called.
I'm going to vote for the dollar committee, but I don't know what I'm going to do on the floor. I got to chew over some of these things.
Okay.
The housing trust fund is important to me. The pre-bank stuff is important to me. I wish we'd had an opportunity before the powers to be decided.
Well, I would say, and I say this in all candidness, that I support the housing trust fund too, but I think what we have to do is look at how our ending balance comes down, and if there's any way we can include any of these items in a so-called add-back, buy-back with extra funds, that's certainly something that we can look at as an option. But right now, we don't have that. The school figure seems to be creeping up, and everything else is creeping down. So
it's a philosophical difference, I believe.
And I know, and I just want you to make sure that you understand that I've been the first one to stand in line for houses, but I think what we have to do is look at the bigger picture right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Jack.
No.
Trader.
No.
Butler.
Aye.
Catherine.
Aye.
Carr.
Aye.
Motion carries. And we are adjourned until 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.